born. The nurses all gathered round, and they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad. 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 Bad to the bone. I broke 1,000 hearts before I met you. I'll break 1,000 more, baby, before I am through. I wanna be yours, pretty baby, yours and yours alone. I'm here to tell you, honey, that I'm bad to the bone.
Bad. Good morning, Sovereign Minds. A little different today. feeling a little bad to the bone after last night. That was pretty good stuff.
Yeah. We had a good time.
We had a good time. Good morning. Good morning. It's Sunday once again. Today is April 11th, 2021. My name is Mark Kent, and I will not comply. And I'm here in the studio with my sister, Badass Linda.
Yeah. Watch it.
Who does all the heavy lifting? The immovable object, the unstoppable force of nature, Slayer of Snowflakes. She's seen more BS than a Joe Biden presser.
Good morning, everyone.
And the kid that rocks around the clock. Faster than a speeding internet connection, more powerful than a high-speed download, 10th-degree black belt, in RAM, Cyber Dave Johnson.
Good morning, and I'll circle back to that.
And guardian of the magic button, the library and a bumper, the time band and the brakes, key weaponry board specialist, producer extraordinaire, Travis!
Good morning. Hey, so you guys missed it. My birthday was last Sunday.
Oh, man, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
I'll be expecting
happy birthday. You know, I just wanted to wait till this morning to be able to happy birthday to you.
Starting to sound a little bit like...
Guess what? It's Wynn's birthday today, too.
No, his is in 2 days.
In two days?
Wow. Mm-hmm. Who knew you were born on Easter?
I wasn't. It happens twice since I've been... Yeah, my five-year-old... When I was 5 years old, not my five-year-old. When I was 5 years old was the last time it happened on Easter Sunday. Oh, wow. My God, I can't talk today.
Ugh. Well, that's okay. We can make it happen.
Buddy has his peaches shoes on today. Yeah!
I do.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, last night was great. We had a great time.
We did.
And it was a very successful event. I mean, a lot of people showed up, filled the room up, standing room only. I don't know if it's standing room only, but there was a lot of people there. We did fine, and it was a great show. Want to give a special shout-out to Chris and Pat and the Lindas and
all the volunteers.
They did great. It ran like clockwork. It was smooth. There was only a couple of hitches that we need to iron out next time that were minor. But everybody was there. We had a great, great time. And,
well, that food was just amazing.
Was that not the best ever? I mean, Dill's Deli knows how to really serve it up. That was really, I mean, for catered, that was some of the best.
That was really good, yeah.
Absolutely, I've ever ate. So go to Dill's Deli and show your patronage there and let them know that you appreciate them, what they've done and donated to the cause and all of that stuff.
Just a reminder on the shout out to Dill's, they ended up catering that entire event, all the food, all of it together at no cost.
They are true patriots.
They are.
No question about it.
They just keep giving to the cause, too.
Absolutely.
Which is wonderful.
So, we won't have a final tally, and we won't tell anybody on the air anyway. Well, I don't know. Will we?
I don't know if we'll tell on the air. We probably will, but we have a rough estimate, but we did really well. Everybody stepped up very nicely last night.
Yeah.
The bidding wars were great.
Oh, man. How about that bottle of dragon brandy?
I know. Who would have guessed?
Wow. I mean, I was like, I'll start out the bid, you know, and it's like, well, maybe I'll just go away after a while.
Well, what was funny about that, too, is I would bid on something and look across the room and it'd be like Mark or something. It's like, really?
I stopped bidding. I can't bid against my sister.
But you look across the room and you see who it is and you think, God, should I bid against them? Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
By the way, just for the uninformed out there, not targeting anybody in particular, but Linda is my sister.
Yeah.
Not my wife. So just to show you that there's some fact-checking going on some of the reporting around here.
It's not really reporting. It's kind of a made-up story.
Like, it's kind of like fairy tale land.
Well, yeah.
They just have in the back of their head that all conservatives and all people that lean on the right, they all come out of Alabama. They just figured it was normal.
Either that or Arkansas, where they invented the toothbrush.
Yes.
Any place else, it's a teeth brush. Just saying. But it's fractured fairy tales is what it is. I mean,
exactly.
You know, they just, it's like, well, if I don't have any facts, I'll just make it up and, you know, I'll slander whoever I can just because it's what I do. You know, based on my ideological argument as opposed to truth and justice in the American way. It's more like more lies in the communist, Marxist way. So, I mean, these guys are out of control. Now, what I want to do is I got some stuff that we want to cover. We've got a lot of things that we want to get through and get out here tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Out of here this morning.
I feel like it's still the night after last night.
Right?
We're getting a little old about pulpies. Long hours like this. Not like we used to do.
Like Nebraska, where there's only 13 names in the state. Good one. I suspect I know who that is.
Yeah.
But, you know, with all that said, we've got a lot to cover here. And I want to stick on the recall before we divert our attention to other things. And I think what we need to play is presentation to the Board of Supervisors of the recall petitions. I've got a new hero in town, and her name is Alyssa. And she is the bomb. And let's go ahead. Are we hooked up for this, Travis?
He doesn't have his ears on. He doesn't know yet.
Oh, well, let's get his attention before we...
Now he does.
Travis, am I hooked up for a video?
Yeah.
Oh, there you see. He's still...
Thank you. What's the matter?
There's a lot of technical issues today. Notice the disclaimer this morning, so we're getting things done.
Anyway, I want to play this because I think this is one of the most powerful. This is right up there with, you know, like Thomas Paine and Patrick Henry. I mean, I am not kidding. So let's hear this, and then we'll move on to the next order of business.
Good morning, Supervisors Modi, Rickert, and Comenti. In a few minutes, you will be served an official notice of intent to be recalled. This recall is a course correction for Shasta County. It is not a witch hunt. It is a necessary performance appraisal. As leadership in this county during 2020, your position has been critically assessed, and you are being held accountable by us, the citizens. The reason for a recall is as follows. First, a betrayal of public trust. These supervisors didn't defend our county from state government overreach. They bowed to Governor Newsom, a known corrupt, lawless politician, for county funding. They then used that CARES funding, over $18 million, for county programs over businesses by 6-1, indebting us to the state indefinitely for these new programs. As recently as last month, Supervisors Modi, Rickert, and Comenti failed a motion to terminate our local state of emergency. For over 1 year, they have failed to assert local control. Second, a need for fundamental change. For too long, our supervisors have operated without critical oversight by its citizens. Our board has been irresponsible with taxpayer money, directing it to be used in inefficient county programs like administration. These supervisors have not held Dr. Karen Ramstrom and Director Don L. Ewert accountable for mismanagement during this pandemic, including their oversight of a bloated HHS department of over $200 million, making up over 50% of the entire county budget. To prove the inadequacy of our Health and Human Services Department, we must only acknowledge this, that the parameters dictated to our county by the state were unbefitting and ill-suited for our county. Then note, these state mandates have been perpetuated for over a year by our health departments as sanctioned by these supervisors, causing lasting detriment to our businesses, our community, our elderly, and our children. Third, this is a last resort. We cannot afford to wait to elect new representation. We cannot risk another round of shutdowns, business closures, and school closures. We must have supervisors that will actively protect our county from state overreach, that will secure our rights to operate our businesses, schools, and churches as we see fit, and that will be proactive and innovative in their approach to return government to its smaller, proper role in this county. This is not personal. This is responsible citizenship. These supervisors have performed poorly at reflecting the will of the residents of Shasta County. Therefore, a recall has become necessary to determine which supervisors continue to enjoy the support of their communities and which ones need to be replaced. It's time to restore reasonable, representative, and accountable government in Shasta County for ourselves and our future generations. All in favor of a recall, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Do the ayes have it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I got a couple things in there I want to talk about. And, you know, they're not personal, okay? You know, let's talk about the small businesses. You know, we've heard this, this not personal thing, especially from the County Board of Supervisors. It's not personal. We're following the science. We're doing what we're, you know, have to do to, you know, save the community and keep it safe and all that stuff. You know, I bet you if you asked every one of those small businesses that you put out of business, did it feel personal? Does it feel personal to them? For you to take control of their lives and pretty much, you know, put them out of business, put them, you know, homeless on the street, you know, looking for work, whatever their fate might have been after over and over and over of perpetuating the lie that this was, you know, taking a toll on the county as far as deaths. You know, cases don't equal deaths. Cases don't equal an emergency. Cases don't equal overwhelming of the emergency system here. So you get a case, you don't feel sick, you don't know you're sick, but you go get tested and all of a sudden you got COVID and that adds to the case count. But nobody's dying, nobody's sick, nothing happens. And the few people that do die don't warrant the fact that you've put so many people out of business, taking the kids out of school. Do you think it feels personal to the kids that lost their ability to learn in a school setting environment with a teacher in personal? Was that personal? So, you know, they come across in their little ivory towers like this was attacked by extremists and it's just personal. Well, I bet it feels pretty personal, doesn't it? When it's you. When your head's on the chopping block, it feels pretty personal, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the message that they need to understand is it's not personal. Right? It's because you're doing a terrible job. You're not protecting your citizenry. You're doing whatever you can to enrich the county's coffers, not keep the businesses upright. You know, and I heard some idiot yesterday talking about, oh, you know, we're for small businesses and it's the big business corporations and that you got, they're the ones that are, oh, we got to go after, ooh, Amazon and blah, 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 and all the, and Walmart. Okay. Well, let me ask you this. You know, let me ask you this. Can you think of what has this pandemic done to the small businesses? You're saying the corporation businesses are getting larger and larger and out of control. Let's give more power to the government so that they can squash the small businesses.
Well, and all you need to do is drive around Reading. Drive around Reading and look at the business fronts. Look at the business fronts that are closed. Look at all the businesses that were just a year and a half ago there. And that are now gone.
And how
Best
do
Little
you,
Sandwich Shop? And that was a friend of mine.
How do you justify closing down the small businesses but leaving the large businesses open?
Well, and honestly, my opinion, the only way this ends up playing in is the fact that why did they need to close down all these businesses? So that you have these companies like Walmart and Costco and Amazon that then are getting all of this information and all of these people that are all pouring in. Whereas if you had a flat tire and you went to a bicycle repair store, you're going to be around three people. But you got to go to Walmart now to purchase that same tire, and now you're going to be around 400 people.
So the policies, which, by the way, are not law, in order to have a law, you have to pass a statute through the legislature. And so these are color of law, which are not enforceable, by the way, legally enforceable in a court of law. So these are basically suggestions. And in their suggestions on how they handled this COVID-19 with their fear-mongering and everybody is going to die and you know, we got to protect everybody and keep them safe. Who did they protect? Did they protect the small businesses in town?
No.
Did they protect the large businesses?
Yes.
In town. So you know, quit talking out of both sides of your head. You can't say, oh, well, it's the big businesses that are the rats and all the guys, we got to get them and they're in collusion with the guys that we're giving more power to, by the way. Or it's the small businesses. We support everybody in the ma and pa's, except with their policies, we're putting them out of business. So which is it?
Well, and there's something we should actually play a little bit later. It's called the Well Health Safety Seal. And it's the next big iterations between private and business correlation with all of the government and private corporations working together. And it's going to be a seal that they're going to put on the front of their doors to show that they're environmentally, socially, and health safe. And probably going to be requiring you to get a vaccine in order to go into it based upon some of the information that I've seen.
Kevin Kiley is already starting to draft up legislation right now to put that aside because, again, can he do it? I mean, this is going to come ultimately down to the people saying, no, we're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And pound sand, and we'll start operating locally as an agrarian society like we used to without intervention from a board of supervisors who has more interest in money than they do taking care of their people that they're supposed to represent in the county.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always for your own good that we have to do this. You know, these people have no sense. They have no common sense. And I guess we got a caller.
We do got a caller. We've got Terry on the line. Good morning, Terry.
Are you there? Terry.
No, it looks like it's disconnected.
Oh, wow.
Call back in, Terry. Yeah, I'm not sure what happened, but call back in.
So I have a fundamental question here. This is a fundamental question that I think everybody, including the people that are on the other side of the aile that keep talking about unity while we put everybody out of business and take away their rights and we have to follow the government mandates no matter what they say because they're smarter than us. They have more chi than we do.
They really care for us.
Yeah. And of course,
just go to the corner and shut up.
We as citizens can't be as smart as the guys that we elect because they come from the citizenry. So they have to be smarter than us, right? So we should give them all the power. So here's my first question. Where do your rights come from? And who gives you those rights? And who can take them away? That's a fundamental question. And that's a serious question.
Mm-hmm.
Where do your rights come from? If you're a democratic, socialist, communist, you know, great kind of guy that believes in helping everybody, believes in helping your neighbor, that believes in all this stuff, the fundamental question that they never ask is where do my rights come from?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, in my conversations with most folks that believe this way, a lot of them are leaning towards they are God and we are men. We created this document and we can, it's a dead document. It's a mute point. They don't care. That's why you see on college campuses, you have 60% of the people on college campuses think that the right of free speech should be limited and eliminate hate speech. But
as long as they're eliminating your speech and not their speech.
Yeah.
It's another one of those, you know, do as I say, not as I do. And as long as you're the target, that's great. But we're still back to the fundamental question. Who gives everybody their rights? Do their rights come from your neighbor? Do they come from the state? Do they come from the Communist Party? Do they come from God? Where do they come from? Because I think that's the fundamentally important question to understand in a free society with liberty. Because if you don't understand that fundamental question, you don't understand anything about being free in a society that that values liberty over safety and security.
Well, and that's the thing. So to go along that same point, I actually had a real close friend of mine that he was from the San Francisco area. I've known him for 9 years, and we only ended up knowing each other online, playing games with each other. Well, he was passing through town yesterday, and we ended up meeting over by that car show in Red Bluff, and him and his friend, they were both, like, terrified, it seemed, and they were wearing their masks, and they didn't want to shake hands. They didn't want to do anything else. I mean, it shows the fear narrative, whereas everybody in Red Bluff... There was nobody wearing masks.
I think my rights come from CNN.
Well, and this
good luck with that.
This is the thing.
We do have a caller on the line.
When you go back and you look at the fundamentals of our nation and of our founding, we had it clearly laid out. Those that prefer safety to freedom deserve neither safety nor freedom.
And why is that? And we need to expand on that, because what's happening is these people are... You know, poor, miserable wretches under this society that the government tells you whatever to do. You know, we got freedom and liberty so that we could prosper and have comfortable lives and have freedom and fun with our families. We didn't set this whole thing up so we could hand over all of our money to some guy over here in the government who's telling us what to do. With that, let's go to our caller.
Good morning, Terry. You there, Terry? Hello.
Well, I'm not sure what's going on with Terry, but
hey, I think he might be there. Are you there, Terry?
Yeah,
you're on the air.
I couldn't hear anything. I don't know what's going on with the system, but I couldn't hear anything after you got done, which was I wanted to comment on what you just said a while ago. I don't even know. I didn't even hear a thing that Dave said because I couldn't hear I don't know what happened with the phone system here, but anyway. I have to tell you, Mark, what you said about the personal thing, that was fantastic. It was absolutely fantastic about how you laid that out. It is personal what the Board of Supervisors did to these people. I mean, how could they not take it personally? And I'd like to be able to use that particular comment you made on our program to play that again, because you were amazing. I got to tell you that, brother. That was amazing, too.
Thank you. Well, I've been thinking about it all week, you know, and I think...
It was so great.
Well, I appreciate that. So, you got anything else, Terry? We'll move on.
Yeah, just one quick thing. Hopefully, when I believe that Alyssa and the ladies are going to be on Carl Bott's show on Thursday, I hope that he plays that excerpt of what Alyssa said at the Board of Supervisors, which was amazing.
I agree.
So, I think that when Carl has them on, that should be played. I also think that maybe the excerpt from your program, after you talking about the personal thing, which I thought, again, was just great job, Mark, and I think that should be played, too, because I think that sort of lays the whole thing out in a nutshell. Anyway, great show. Great job, buddy. Great job.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Terry. We appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
So, with that said, let's take our first break, and then we'll come back and we'll pursue this even further.
All right, if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM.
Blame it all on my roots. I showed up in boots and ruined your black tie fair. Last one to know, last one to show, I was the last one you thought you'd see there. And I saw the surprise and the fear in his eyes, and I took his glass of champagne. I toasted you, said, honey, we may be. Oh,
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Reading and get a professional paint job and save big. With their $4.99 special, Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Billy, man, come on. 6 o'clock news, say somebody been shot. Somebody's been abused. Somebody blew up a building. Somebody stole a car. Somebody got away. Somebody didn't get too far. Yeah, they didn't get too far.
Grandpappy told my pappy back in my day, son, a man had to answer for the wicked that he done. Take all the rope in Texas, find a tall old tree, round up all of them bad boys, hang them high in the street for all the people to see.
That justice is the one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men and beer for my horses.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're rocking.
Such a good song.
I love that. I guess we have a caller.
We do, and it says it's Sheriff Mack. Are you there, Sheriff Mack? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air. Sheriff Mack? Hello?
Good morning, Sheriff.
Okay, I'm here.
There yep. We go.
Hey, perfect. We can hear you. What you got for us?
Well, I was just going to call in and ask you why you're talking about constitutional sheriffs and didn't invite me on the show.
Oh. Is this really Sheriff Mack?
It really is.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm in Wisconsin right now. And so I just had a small window, and Bradford told me to call in and see if I could add any or shed any light on what's transpired thus far on the show.
Well, thank you. We really
appreciate
this. It's an honor, Mr. Mack, Mr. Sheriff Mack. I thought maybe someone was pulling our chain there for a minute.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't know, but...
No, I got a little bird called me a little bit ago, and I told him I'm really rushed right now, but he said if I could call in for a few minutes, I would give it a shot, and I did, so here I am, and God bless you.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it. And, well, what you got, Sheriff? What's new out there in the constitutional sheriff world? I mean, we are definitely in a pitched battle for our country at this point, so what have you got on the forefront?
Well, it is a battle for our country, and I think it comes down to a very simple thing. Might not be easy to achieve, but it's a simple process. And I think that the American people in California, Hawaii, wherever they are, need to get with local officials, and especially the ones that we have elected, that we have chosen, who promised us in God's name that they would uphold and defend the Constitution, that we have meetings and training together, that the sheriffs understand what their boss really wants. And the sheriff only has one boss in his entire community, and it is the voters who appointed him to be their representative in law enforcement. And this way, the understanding between sheriffs and the people can increase, can solidify, can bring us together, can bring us unity, and absolute civility, in that we create an atmosphere and a plan of action to where the people are protected and have some place, someone in this entire country that they can turn to for help and peace and safety when government becomes venial, oppressive, and tyrannical.
Well, you know what we're doing here in Shasta County, and I think it's the model for the rest of the country as well, is we're taking back our Board of Supervisors. And if we have to fire everybody in the local government to get people who are going to be in there to follow the Constitution, then so be it. If we have to get a new sheriff that's going to follow the Constitution, and that is their priority, not taking money from Sacramento. We've got the Red, White, and Blueprint that's a nationwide documentary going viral at this point across the board, and it's a 10-part series, I believe, and they're going to show how to do this, a model of taking back your local community, and by doing so, across the board, if every county follows this template, then we will take back our country as a whole.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And it's, like I say, it's a simple process. It'll take some time and effort and some courage to come together with this, but I think it's absolutely vital that we do. And let me ask you an overall question, which I kind of pose before any of my presentations. Would any of us right now in America, left, right, or middle, would any of us have accepted the country that America has become? And this is the question. If your public officials came to you, all of us right now, and said, well, yes, we will protect your civil rights. We will absolutely do everything we can to protect your civil rights, to protect your individual liberty. We will do everything to protect your liberty, your freedom, your rights, American ideals. We will protect that. We will protect American idealism. We love our country. Oh, but we won't do it if there's an emergency. We won't do it if there's a crisis. And we won't do it if there's a pandemic. Would any of us ever have accepted that exception to American liberty, and it just becomes a whim of government to decide when we have a crisis, when we have an emergency, or when we have a pandemic? There's no exemption clause. There is no exception to liberty. As a matter of fact, if you look at it, when there's an emergency, that's when the Constitution applies the most. And
well,
so,
well, we know
anybody
we know,
that is
we
telling
know.
Us that is wrong.
Well, we know it's a Trojan horse. We know that, that's how despots take over, is always for the good of the people. If they told you that they were taking over for their own good, who would buy into that program? But you're right. What they've done is they're trying to circumvent the constitutional protections that are enforced by we the people at the local level. They're trying to circumvent that, because if they can do it with one emergency, what's to stop them from having the emergency of the week?
Exactly. That in my Supreme Court decision, it talked about how the Constitution protects us from the crisis of the day. And there's just too much of this that I get to do whatever I want. I can shut you down, arrest your ministers, stop your church, force you to wear a mask, arrest you if you don't, and just monitor everywhere you go. And if you're doing anything contrary to our pandemic rules, they're not laws, rules and our dictatorial mandate, then we're going to take you to jail, whatever we have to do. And don't forget, just like you alluded to, It's for your own good.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly what they tell you every time they do it.
and seriously, is there anybody, even on the left, is there anybody who would have accepted that, oh, yeah, that's okay for government to completely control us, enslave us, destroy our liberty anytime they feel like there's just an emergency or a need?
Well, you know, it's a great example, and an example that I like to go to is taxes, for example. You know, it's all get the evil rich. They can afford it. What they don't seem to put together in two and two is once you give the government the ability to take your property and everything you own through the taxation, because it's if you have the right to tax a person, and there's no restrictions on that because they can change the law anytime they want, then what they can do is they can eliminate your ability to own property. Private property. And if you can eliminate one person's ability to own private property, you can eliminate everybody's ability to own private property. And they're okay with that as long as they're the recipients of the redistribution. But when everybody's redistribution starts to be a block of cheese, then they're going to be the ones yelling the loudest.
Right. Right.
Well, and Sheriff, I had a question for you, too, as in regards to what would you tell our local sheriffs about the enforcement of the Ninth Circuit ruling back on March 24th that you have no right to carry a firearm, either openly or concealed? What would you tell our local officials, and what would you advise us to do as far as staying and complying within the abject nature of these laws or not?
Well, everybody knows that the Ninth Circuit is the most joke court in America.
I think they refer to it as the Ninth Circus.
Yeah, exactly. And it is the most overturned court in America. For how else would you keep and bear arms if you're not allowed to carry it concealed or open?
Exactly.
What do you do with it? The Ninth Circuit has been so contrary to the principles of liberty that this is the typical example where Madison and Jefferson said state nullification applies. And I believe the Second Amendment is one area where sheriffs in this country will unite. And the California sheriff should be taking the lead in letting everyone know, no, we are not following the Ninth Circuit. That is ridiculous. Even if the Supreme Court were to crazily and insanely support the Ninth Circuit on that, which I doubt they'll do, but even if they did, what comes first in America? Liberty. My word comes first. My commitment to the Constitution, my oath of office, and the principles of liberty that America was founded upon come first. Not my loyalty to a court, not my loyalty to tyrants, not my loyalty to self-appointed dictators. And we shouldn't have followed a lot of different times when courts have ruled. And we are under no obligation to follow a misdirected, unconstitutional, un-American court. In fact, our obligation is just the opposite. We stand for liberty, and we put liberty first.
I believe it was Madison that said that if you passed a law that was contrary to the Constitution, it was no law at all. And so that's
several
really...
Several founders said that, and Marbury versus Madison and Miranda decision said that such, quote, laws are null and void on its face and of no force. Mm-hmm.
Well, and we have to understand a little bit about the law as well. I mean, we get this all the time. The guys here at the Board of Supervisors that have been trying to support the board are always talking about the rule of law like they know what it is. They think that some guy down there in the Capitol building in Sacramento can say anything he wants, and that's law. And that's the problem, is that you have to have a fundamental understanding of where your rights come from and who is the ultimate enforcement of those rights, because if they're given to you by the government, then the government can take them away from you. That is why the concept of God giving rights is so screwed up with these people, because they, I heard someone say yesterday that, oh, we want special rights. No, we want guaranteed rights. We want rights that can't be taken away from us. And they don't even understand that concept because they don't care.
Yeah, and a lot of it is ignorance, and you cannot keep your oath to the Constitution that you've never read or studied. Mm-hmm. And the Bill of Rights especially, they're not hard to understand, but we need to know what they are, what they represent, and why the Founding Fathers put them as the supreme of the supreme law of America. There's your rule of law. And if we can unite behind the Bill of Rights, we're going to save America. So anyway, I've got to run. They're coming to get me right now. And so thank you so much for having me.
Hey, we appreciate
the call.
Thanks for
calling in. We really appreciate it.
Don't hesitate to call in any time, Sheriff.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. Have a great day. Thanks.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
That was great. You know, it's interesting because, you know, what we're not selling to these people is what they don't understand is that their lives are getting more and more and more miserable. Do you know, I mean, what are they doing? They're rioting. They don't have any money. They're dependent on the government. You know, their lives are getting more and more miserable. What they're failing to see clearly is that the reason we became the most prosperous country in the history of the earth through inventions, through keeping our own prosperity, through liberty, that was put into the marketplace, that what they don't understand is that at the end of the day, if you're a free person that has liberty, you can enjoy life. You get to have toys. You get to ride fast cars.
You get to live.
You get to live as opposed to being knuckled down, working every day, or depending on your check from some government agency to make sure you have enough to live on.
Well, and one of the things, too, in regards to the constitutional carry and whether concealed carry even, not just open carry, because I've been doing a little bit of research on this. You know, there was actually a whole bunch of manufacturers in the ancient Midwest, ancient firearms, that you have ladies' pocket guns.
Everybody carried a gun.
Yeah, but the point that I'm making on that, you had ladies' pocket guns to where these gals clearly weren't walking around with a holster with a gun that's going to fit in the palm of their hand.
Sure.
So that right there on its face, based upon our founders, based upon the history, based upon the fact we don't see a lot of historical records of women being dragged down the streets for illegally concealed carrying.
It's a whitewash. The whole thing is a whitewash to get to the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got this. Before we go to Dick, you know, I wanted to ask this question. They asked Karl Marx if he could make a summary of the Communist Manifesto in just a few words. And what do you think his summary was? He said that if we added up all the platforms of the Communist Manifesto, the goal was one thing, to abolish private property. Why? Because if you can abolish private property, then who owns everything? Who controls everything?
I was going to say, who controls?
So whether you're trying to get rid of guns, whether you're overtaxing people, whether you got a central bank, all this is about getting rid of your ability to control your own destiny by having rights of property. If you don't have a farm and you can't grow your own food, who provides the food for you? If you can't, store any value in gold, silver, property, land, money, stocks, whatever it is, if you lose the ability through taxation, and if you lose the ability to defend that because the government gets everybody's guns away from them so they can come in and take your property at will, what do you think the people's misery level is going to be?
Well, and actually, I'll go one step further. Here's one interesting quote from Marx the left just really does not like to talk about. So here is Marx: to be able to forcefully and threateningly to oppose this party, whose betrayal of workers will begin with the first hour of victory, the workers must be armed and organized. The whole proletariat must be armed at once with muskets, rifle, cannon, ammunition, and the revival of the old-style citizens' militia directed against the workers, and must be opposed. When the formation of the militia cannot be prevented, the workers must try to organize themselves independently as a proletarian guard with elected leaders. So, I mean, we're literally talking about a guy that's calling for all these people to take up arms.
Well, what he's calling for is the same exact thing that Mao said. Mao said, I want gun control. I want to control all the guns.
Mm-hmm.
What he's saying is, as long as we have all the guns, that's okay, because you can't fight back. When he's talking about the proletariat, he's talking about the government stooges that are paid off by the central banks. And if you look around today, what is going on? The government's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Corporations are getting bigger and bigger. Why are they getting bigger and bigger? Because they're basically getting, you know, you look at the example of the funding that just came out of the CARES Act. You know, $18 million went to the government. government to bolster up their pensions, to give them raises. They're being bribed out of their own freedom, and they're the attack dogs for the guys who are running the show. Whether it's the state police, whatever it is, the only ones they want guns are the guys that they control.
Mm-hmm.
That's the moral. So let's go to our caller, Dick.
Good morning, Dick.
Hey, good morning. Hey, Mark. Hey, I want to thank you for last night. You gifted my wife, Frances, and I with a seat at your table. That was very kind of you. And I just want to mention that gift only cost us $1,055.
Hey, was that
appreciate
so
that.
So how much is that per cupcake? What did you...
Yeah, right.
Oh, did you end up with the cupcake?
Yeah, I did. And then I gave back. I didn't know who made them, but Linda Billingsley, and I donated that cake, that big crystal cake is back.
It's out in my van, by the way, just in case you want to know.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Dick. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you for that seat at the table, too. It only ended up costing me about $1,250.
Hey, you know, the height of irony in the evening's events is when my wife bought the whiskey bottle that I donated for $675.
Well, it's to a good cause. That's the most
important.
Hey,
we had a lot of fun. It was great. And it was about raising money. It wasn't about things or anything. You know, when you got somebody that'll buy a cake for $150 or two.
No, it was more like $300, you know?
You know, the one that was totally shocking last night was the dragon.
Yeah.
That was insanity. I mean, that thing got bit up so high, I thought, at $400, $400, you know? And it was like, $2,500? Like, well,
I think it went for 26.
Was it 26?
Finally at the end. I know, I bid 600 on it.
Wow. I mean, it was cool looking, but,
I know it was
that same one over at Costco for $99.
Wow.
Yeah, but that dragon doesn't do the same as the one that we had last night. I'm just saying.
It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean the same.
You know what was funny, too?
You know, support what we're after.
Chris did a great job as the auctioneer. You know, we were kidding around on a lot of different stuff last night. But, it was just funny, the whole thing, about, you know, buying the cake and, you know, for $150, the dragon, all of it, you know.
How about Terry outbidding himself on his own cake?
On his own cake.
He's like, all right, I got $450 right here. Who's got five? I've got five.
But
I've got $550.
What I thought was really funny, all that aside, is every time that the bid was kind of slowing down a little bit, they would talk about, how bad do you want to get rid of Leonard Mody?
Yeah, there was only two names that really kept coming up, was Mody.
And Rickert.
And Rickert.
Yeah.
And that got the crowd going really good. Those two names.
Give me four. Yeah. And remember, this is all about Mody. Give
that. That was good.
Chris did a great job on that.
Yeah, he did. And then you got the people bidding and getting each other at the same table, across from one another. Give me 1,000. It was great.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
It was really fun. But
I was even trying to get goats for $400, man.
Well,
my wife really wanted those goats. That was hilarious.
That's why I told Melody, I said, I'm sure glad I didn't bring Lily because I'd be going home with those goats. And if I knew you could get that much for a pair of goats, I'd have brought the ones I had at home.
That crazy. But it was great stuff.
Yeah, boy. Yeah,
again, supporting our liberty. People really were standing up and getting engaged, and they will from here on out.
Well, and you know,
just so people know, we're going to have more of those.
The moral of the story is that, you know, patriots are great people. They're not just a bunch of stuffy rednecks. They're fun. We like to have fun. You know, we like bacon. We like, we like to have a drink once in a while.
And you know what? They're very giving if they're not told to do it.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
If you're not going to force my hand on something, and you're not going to be like, hey, you got to do this, the moment you say you got to do something, not doing it. I mean,
right.
And also, the money goes to exactly what you want it to. I mean,
right.
So this is the thing.
I'm sure that we'll hear from the Dems about, it's going straight to the Koch brothers. You know, But wait a minute.
Right?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure where they are.
We've got about 4 minutes, but let's talk about Joe Biden's job plan that will cost taxpayers about $666,000 per job created.
Hey, that makes economic sense, doesn't it?
It does.
These guys don't have any clue on economics. They think that as long as you could just keep printing money and creating a deficit, there's going to be no end, and there is an end coming to this. And if you're not prepared for it or even semi-worried about it, you're not very bright. You don't understand anything. You've been listening to too much Keynesian economics, you know, which is the government could just keep going and forever, except they forget to talk about all the times that it didn't go forever, which is every single time.
Yeah, there we're are talking no about exceptions. Somebody that can't even think.
Right.
Well, look, yeah, it can't even put two things together.
The guy talking about LaMalfa and his trucking company getting subsidies from the government instead of getting it from the people. And then in the other mouth, it's like, well, that trucking company should pay for the roads and all that stuff because they're the ones operating on it. Forget about all the other people that drive on it as well. But that company needs to pay for it. And then you think, well, where does that company get its money?
Well, and to that note, it's going to take longer than what I have here to discuss, but when we come back, I want to spend about 15 minutes discussing China and how they're affecting us and how it's not going to get better so long as we continue doing these things. But to touch on this, just the news article, the Washington Post gave Biden two Pinocchios for saying the Americans' job plan.
No, he got four. He got four.
Did he?
Yeah, it was four Pinocchios.
Wow. His infrastructure and jobs proposal will create 19 million jobs. Both Biden and his transportation secretary, Pete Buttigieg, have made the 19 million jobs claim. The source of the statement was Moody's analysts, which CNN pointed out had estimated the U.S. economy would add about 16.3 million jobs over the same period if the infrastructure proposal did not get passed.
Well, you know what they're really not talking about? Have you noticed the unemployment rate lately? We're like 770,000 people first-time applying for unemployment benefits every single week. It's not going away. The economy's in free fall. The stock market's like a frontage on a Western movie.
But wasn't it Nancy Pelosi said that will boost the economy? The unemployment, isn't she said that?
Well, because everybody
will be spending their money.
Really producing a lot. See, they don't even understand basic goods. And
I know.
Who's going to make all this stuff? Why do you think America became prosperous? Because everybody was working. Everybody was making stuff. Everybody was growing stuff. Everybody was producing and thinking and creating stuff. So what do you think when everybody's on the government dole is going to happen? Why did Russia collapse?
Well, and some of this, too, I'm trying to fact check myself on this now before I say it, but there have been quite a few people that have been suggesting that you can get unemployment if you just go through and say that I don't feel safe at work and my workplace is not practicing enough COVID-19 restrictions.
Do you know what my dad would have said if I had told him that I don't feel safe at work? He would have said, turn around, and I would have felt a sharp-toed hard shoe right in my keister. Because you gotta work if you have any common sense. The idea is to work to the point where you don't have to work, not be a slave to the government taking everything you own for the rest of your life.
And let's get this straight about California. Let's see. They're going to give people unemployment that don't want to go to work, but they're going to bust businesses
let's take it a little further.
And audit them and try to put them out of business.
What happens when the unemployment...
Well,
what happens when the unemployment runs out and there's no jobs? Because all the businesses are shut down.
That's what... Yeah.
What happens, you know, and
they're shipping the money up to the prisoners.
I've been meaning to bring this up for quite some time. Did you know that most government guys that work for the government don't pay Social Security tax?
Yes, I do know that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, yes. Most people don't. I see their paychecks W-2s every week, and most of them don't pay.
We pay, they don't.
I guess we gotta go.
Stay tuned for the second half of Sovereign Mind Radio. You've been listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. Into mine, what I'm living for. So don't hold back, little baby, when I reach out to you. I'm doing my best to bring you around. The
news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Power has been lost at Iran's underground nuclear facility in Natanz this weekend.
The outage occurred just hours after the facility started up new centrifuges that would help it to enrich uranium faster. Iran's Atomic Energy Agency spokesman confirmed to Iranian state TV that there had indeed been an outage. However, the cause of the outage was still unknown. Israeli media were rife with speculation that the power cut was the result of a cyber attack. While the reports offered no sourcing for the evaluation, Israeli media maintains a close relationship with its military and intelligence agencies. If Israel caused the blackout, it further heightens the tensions between the two nations already engaged in a shadow conflict across the wider Middle East. I'm Karen Chamas.
A civil rights group is suing Facebook and its executives.
Muslim advocates in Washington, D.C. say CEO Mark Zuckerberg made false and deceptive statements to Congress when he said Facebook removes hate speech and other material that violates the giant social network's rules. The suit claims senior management engaged in a coordinated campaign to convince the public, elected representatives, and federal officials that Facebook is a safe product. Facebook says it does not allow hate speech on its platform, and it regularly works with experts and others to help make the social network a safe place. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
A Chinese news agency says that rescuers are trying to reach 21 coal miners trapped in an underground flood in the country's northwest. Eight miners have been rescued before they were stuck down there. China's coal mines, amongst the world's deadliest, regularly suffering explosions and gas leaks despite repeated safety crackdowns. Prince Andrew says the death of his father, Prince Philip, Friday has left a huge void in the heart of the family. Andrew and other members attending church today at the Royal Chapel of All Saints. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you're a radio listener, one thing I'm certain of is that you're not tuning in to listen to me. So I'm sorry about the next 45 seconds. But we have specifically chose this station because we think we're similar and we love for you to see why our mortgage team might be a good fit for you or someone you care about. One, we've got a direct lender advantage. Our mortgage team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender. There's no middleman, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls, an advantage that often allows us to get you a better rate, saving you monthly and lifelong money. Two, our faith is a big deal to us, and we're open about that. If we seem like a fit for you, we'd love to talk. We or United Faith Mortgage.
UnitedFaithMortgage.com. Nice.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to AnimalistConsumerAccess.org. Corporate Animalist number 1335. Record Animalist number 65233. Equal housing lender. I license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
The last few people remaining close to a volcano on St. Vincent are fleeing.
The final evacuees made their way to safety a day after the La Soufrière volcano erupted with an explosion that shook the ground, spewed ash skyward, and blanketed the island in a layer of fine volcanic rock. The eruption is its first large one since 1979. Ash covered everything, creeping into homes, cars, and noses, and a strong sulfur smell lingered in the air. Evacuee Tawana Burke says she's hoping the eruption will end soon.
I am scared. I'm just hoping for the best so that everything can be over so I can go back home.
Local resident Verona Hillock says she's been through this before.
The first time it erupted, I was 9 years old. Now I'm 50 years old.
Scientists warn that the explosions could continue for days or even weeks and that the worst could be yet to come. I'm Karen Chamas.
News and analysis at townhall.com. President Reagan's would-be assassin will pursue an unconditional release.
Lawyers for the man who tried to assassinate President Ronald Reagan say he plans to ask a federal court to allow him to live without conditions in the Virginia home he's currently residing in with his mother and brother. John Hinckley's lawyers stated in a court filing he wants to schedule a hearing for an unconditional release. Experts who've assessed Hinckley say he poses little risk to himself or others. The filing doesn't indicate exactly what unconditional release would mean for Hinckley. The 65-year-old has been living under increasingly fewer restrictions in a gated community in Williamsburg. Hinckley was 25 when he shot and wounded Reagan in 1981. Keith Peters reporting.
Today is Sunday, April the 11th, and here's what happened on that date in entertainment history. 1961, Bob Dylan made his first professional appearance at a club in New York's Greenwich Village. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Still don't know what I was waiting for. And my time was running wild, a million dead-end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me, but I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
I wish you guys could see Travis over there back in the booth. I mean, he was going for it. Changes.
I think there's a theme in the music today.
No, it's a good show. It always is. You guys are.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We appreciate that. So with that, I want to get this out here. This is a little clip from Bill Whittle. It's the Weekend Review, and he goes over this pastor who's patronage, or his church, I guess it is a synagogue, was invaded by police, and he throws them out of the building. On,
I get a little upset.
It's like unbelievable that these guys, that no warrants, no nothing, intimidation tactics. I'm not even sure where this is at, but maybe we can figure that out as we go. But so, are we ready? We queued up. All right, here we go. This is Bill Whittle. This is the Weekend Review. Hold on. I got to do something here real quick, and then we'll have it. I shut down my microphone because I didn't want it to. Okay, here we go. I think we can.
Not yet.
No?
Uh-uh.
Wow.
This Easter weekend may have contained one of the high points of the entire COVID catastrophe of the last year.
Please get out. Get out of this property. Immediately get out. Get out of this property immediately. Out. I don't want to hear anything. Out of this property immediately. I don't want to hear a word. Out. Out. Out of this property immediately until you come back with a warrant. Out. Unbelievable, sick, evil people. Intimidating people in a church during the Passover. You Gestapo, Nazi, communist. Fascists! Don't you dare coming back here!
Now, before we go any farther, these police were on the staircase. He's at the top of the staircase. They all got their little COVID masks on. They're all staring at him. They're trying to get a word in edgewise while he throws them out. And now they've walked out of the building, and they're walking with their heads down back towards their automobiles in shame, in my opinion. And so here's the rest of it.
Can you imagine those psychopaths? Passover, the holiest Christian festival in a year, and they're coming to intimidate Christians during the holiest festival? Unbelievable.
That is Pastor Artur Pawlowski of his church in Calgary, Canada. It's the moral outrage that is generated by this pastor, which is the only appropriate response to this kind of thing. All of the people, the actual cogs in the machine of oppression, totalitarianism, and all the rest, and murder, all of the cogs are small little people who really, really, really like the idea of having authority. Every apartment block in the Soviet Union had two or three or four professional informants. Just little people, bitter people, nosy people, gossips. That's the mechanism that keeps a police state going. And that is what this guy is basically doing. He's calling them out. And of all the words he uses in his moral outrage, I think the one I like best is psychopaths. What are you psychopaths doing here? How dare you psychopaths enter my property without a warrant? This man is not woke like the Delta CEO. He's awake. He's awake. Like most of us, he understands where these things lead, where they go. Then if we don't stand up to them loudly and effectively and with genuine moral outrage, and if we don't put shame on the people who are trying this power grab, if we don't take and keep, in other words, the moral high ground, then we will eventually lose this fight. But I'll tell you this, on Easter weekend, it was great to hear the voice of somebody who believed in his religion, believed in the idea of freedom of religion, and who came from a country that had suffered so horrifically at the hands of both Nazis and communists, a man who was so keenly attuned to the sound of impending totalitarianism that when he saw these policemen and Officer Karen in his church on Easter Sunday, he reacted with the only appropriate response, and that was unbridled moral outrage. I think it's time we started asking ourselves these basic research questions. Not just the law, what do we do about this fact that there is no law anymore? What do we do about election integrity? These things are important issues. But again, to me, that sounds like chasing the plague down and depending on vapors or herbs or flagellation or something to stop the spread of a bacteria that's transmitted from fleas through rodents. We have got to understand the fundamentals of what's happening to this society. What is the sickness and what is the transmission vector? How is this societal plague of just careening to disaster? What's causing it? Not how can we stop it. We don't know how to stop it. If we knew how to stop it, we would stop it. We're all of us watching this every day. Getting more and more and more insane. Fonts are racist now. Pete Buttigieg said, or whatever his name is, you know who I'm talking about, that infrastructure is racist. Everything's racist. If everything's racist, then nothing is racist. What's going on? What's going on? I don't know. But I do know that because I don't know, that means that there's a gap in our fundamental knowledge of the dynamic. We don't have the basic research answers necessary to stop this plague. And we won't have the ability to stop this plague until we start asking these basic research questions and stop for a moment, not forever, still do what we can do with our limited knowledge, but instead of constantly trying to figure out how to undo this latest catastrophe, we need to be doing the fundamental lab research to figure out what has happened to this society. What is the fundamental change in society?
I think that says a lot. And I think where we're starting with the recall efforts is where we fundamentally need to change our society. We need to go back to the proper role of government, which is a small government. The government that governs best governs least. The reason that is because the bigger it gets, the more evil it gets, the more outrageous it gets, the more it takes your individual rights, the more it redistributes wealth, which is stealing from one person and giving it to another, thereby controlling everyone. This is what they don't want to talk about. This is what they don't want to, have as common knowledge out there. And this is why they sit in their little ivory tower, plexiglass windowed Zoom meetings, trying to distance themselves from their constituents as far as they possibly can, with less information, with not being a participant in the process, so that they can sit in their little ivory towers and pretend they're God.
Yes.
That's what it is.
And it's been working for them for a while.
Well,
until lately. Yes.
And then all of a sudden, look at the extremists out there. Yeah. They think they have rights. They think that, that they can do whatever they want. They want special rights. They don't want, it's insane.
And it looks like we have a caller, Steve, on the line. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Yeah, Sheriff Mack did me a big, huge favor by coming on this morning.
Oh, great. It was you, Steve. What a guy.
We appreciate it.
Well, I've been a posse member, a supporter for over a year of his movement. I got his movement on YouTube about a year and a half or so ago. Joined it right away because it is the law of the land, the constitutional sheriff. And somebody made a comment last week or 2 weeks ago about there is no such thing as constitutional sheriff. It's not in the Constitution. Well, the people enacted the Constitution, and the people needed a law enforcement in their communities, in their villages, in their little towns, townsmanships back in the day, and they elected a sheriff. And that's where it came from in the very beginning, and it's just that simple. We the people, of the people, for the people, by the people.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple, and we've got to support Sheriff Mack and his movement. That is one of the biggest hopes for our individual counties and the power of taking our counties back. You guys down there are the leaders. Shasta County is the leader in California. As far as I'm concerned, we should be doing it up here in Siskiyou, but you guys have the force going down there, and more power to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Right, thank you. We appreciate it.
Well, and it actually, based upon the news attention that we're getting up here in our little county, we're not just a leader just in California. We're a leader across the entire nation. That's what the red, white, and blueprint is all about.
And with that said, I want to play a little clip from Fox News about our local hero here real quick.
Nice.
Okay, here we go.
For ourselves and our future generations, all in favor of a recall, say aye.
Aye.
That was California Mom Melissa McEwen leading a passionate recall effort in California for three Shasta County board supervisors. Local residents were frustrated over the board's support for Gavin Newsom and ongoing COVID-19 restrictions. McEwen calls for recall, revival of citizenship joins me now. Thank you so much, Alyssa. Tell me a little bit about why you guys are leading this effort to get rid of the supervisors now.
Good morning, Lawrence, and thanks for having me. One of the major reasons is the COVID restrictions did bring this to light for us.
Yeah.
But really what it revealed was that our county government had become unrepresentative and unaccountable at a local level. And so we've decided to operate within our sphere of influence, and for us, that's here at the county with the County Board of Supervisors.
Yeah, some crazy stuff that's happening, and you see these board supervisors right now. Let's talk about some of these restrictions because, again, it was 2 weeks to slow the spread. Now we're over a year. Indoor capacity capped at 25% for restaurants and places of worship and movie theaters. Indoor gyms are still capped at 10% capacity. Schools can reopen in person if the county is in the red tier for 2 weeks. Tell me about this. How are residents feeling that you still really can't get a really decent meal? The health is out of control because people can't go to the gym. What is the on-the-ground experience?
Yeah, and the citizens of Shasta County we're fed up. You know, from the very beginning, back in March and April of 2020, we said, we're not Los Angeles, we're not San Francisco, we're rural Northern California. We deserve a tailored health plan for our county, and we haven't received that. Everything has been done in this centralized Sacramento, the overly bureaucratic government, and they're dictating what our county is doing. It's inappropriate for our county, and the problem is our County Board of Supervisors has allowed that to happen. They haven't protected us from this overreach by our state government.
Alyssa, tell me a little bit about the experience. These kids are still not really in school yet, and it seems like they're putting the interests of the teachers unions over the kids.
Well, and for me, what we see here in our county is it's inequitable across the board. There is no clear guidance for our schools. So some kids have been in school 5 days a week with masks, and others have been in school and out of school on an alternate schedule for the past year. It's inequitable on every level.
It's not fair to the kids, and the mental health aspects of this is going out of control. I talked about it a little bit, but about two weeks ago on Fox News Primetime. Alyssa, we reached out to the Shasta County Board Supervisors for comment, and they still have not responded to us. But we will continue to follow this story. Thank you so much for joining the program.
Gee, do you find it shocking that they haven't commented?
No.
Because they know what they've been exposed. The emperor doesn't have any clothes. They've been exposed for what they are. So that's why we keep being, oh, we're extremists, we're radicals, they're militia, they're bloodthirsty, they're pirates, they walk the plank, arr! You know, I mean, come on. At what point in time do you go, you're an idiot? Because, again, Lord Acton, corrupt, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. There's a reason for that, because you get these guys in their little ivory towers and nobody's watching them. They're doing whatever they want. They're making little side deals and all this money, and everybody's stacking up their pensions. And pretty soon they're not just, you know, having a good job. They're getting wealthy. I mean, when over the half of the budget goes to health and human services for our safety. Well, you know, you go to, I think it's Open Government. I got the website here. I'll pull it up.
Open Secrets?
Is it? No, it's not. I got it. I think it's Vote Smart, where they show all of the salaries. I'll pull it up here.
But, Open Secrets says that too.
I'm not sure if that's it, but I'll pull it up here in a break. And, but when the two, there's, when you look at the top pay, number one, in Shasta County, the top pay in Shasta County is the chief of psychology.
Yeah.
Now, what?
Mm-hmm.
Are these guys all having breakdowns down there? The chief of psychology for who? I didn't even know there was such a position. And then the next is Karen Randstrom. Okay. The chief of psychology is making I'll pull it up and get it exact. It's like $380,000 a year with benefit packages. That's more than the president makes.
But it's less than Fauci. Come on, man.
I mean,
but that's the only way you get good people, is you have to pay them that kind of money.
Yeah,
that's the only way we get decent people here to
come
take
on.
Us.
Yeah,
come on.
You know, but that's how you get good people in New York, too. You just have to buy them off.
We got a population up here of about 200,000 people. It's only like, well, we're only having $2 from each person being donated for this person's salary. Give me a break, man. Come on.
Come on, man. I mean, it's so ridiculously stupid. And then, you know, the next, it's like one, and then the next one is Ewert, her assistant. He's making, you know, $289,000 a year. You know, how many people do you think are making $289,000 a year in Shasta County?
There's probably actually quite a few.
I wonder where they all work.
Not many in the private sector.
Yeah, I wonder where they all work.
Yeah,
maybe
that
you're
should
a
be
doctor.
The question. Where do they work?
I'd like to do a survey. I would like to figure out where everybody who's always talking about having to do the redistribution of the wealth, I'd like to know what their job positions are. I'd like to know where they work, where they get their money comes from. Just because I think you got a dog in the hunt if you're on the government payroll, or if you're getting all of your money from some government agency.
Or what was your income before you went into office versus when you come out of office or during office?
I'm trying to find this,
you know,
this website.
A lot of them get very rich while they're in office.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll find it here. I thought I had it saved in my bookmarks, but evidently it got bookmarked down below where I have bookmarks. Anyway.
It's pretty interesting stuff all across the board, and it's pretty disturbing stuff when you end up seeing these things. And this is not just a local problem. It's a national problem, because all of these cities, all of this corruption just runs rampant. And there's portions of this that when you go through and you look at how much of our country is influenced by China and other countries by using the private sector and these private businesses, and take, for instance, the NBA. If you say free Hong Kong, you're going to go ahead and be relieved from your job in the NBA because they're going to kowtow to the markets, and they're going to allow that to take place. So what we see that's taking place across the board here is we have our university professors, which are reporting to the Communist Chinese Party, and they were arrested for it. We have them running rampant within our school systems. We have their ideologies, which are being pervaded over here. At the same time, they're doing exactly the opposite of what we're doing here. And these businesses are just going and making it to where they're donating all this money to elect all these candidates that are going to do what China wants so that they can end up getting more money into it.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess they just found that, like, that laptop was Hunter's.
Well, and I think we've known that for a while now, but it's
all this money is China Joe and Hunter compromised? Beijing Joe?
Obviously.
I mean, so who's running the country?
In my opinion, of course. Well, and it's you go through and look at this, the idea behind free markets. We do not have a free market system. In 1940, we had 20.7% of all of the nation's capitals of the world. We were the number one global leader. And why was that? Because we had hands off on the individual. We had the ability to go, if I wanted to become a plumber, I'd just say, hey, I'm a plumber. I'm going to go fix your stuff. Now you've got to go through business licensing, get your license to become a plumber. You've got to pay your taxes to keep up on all these things. You've got to worry about all these extra little nuances that make it unprofitable for you to go into the private sector. And at the same time, we have all these parents that for the last 20 years have been telling their kids, don't go into a trade school. You deserve better than that. You need to go in and become a computer typer for an astrophysicist or something across the board on that. And what we're seeing is we're seeing our nation slip behind because you don't have the American dream as you had it just in 1940. And everywhere the government's gotten involved, they've ended up destroying everything they have. Why is school so expensive? Well, in 1950, we decided to start subsidizing all of the student loans, and the school systems decided, hey, we can raise this up to whatever we want. So now it's going to cost you a year's salary to attend a school where if you worked at a Ford Motor Company for just 3 weeks' pay, you could do room, board, and books for your kid for an entire semester. Okay, we don't have that anymore. Why is that? It's because we turned it over to the government, Social Security and health insurance. What are the things that we turned over to the government that are we paying for all the rest of this stuff? We see it's the stuff we turned over to the government. And the answer to these people is, let's give the government more control, because they're going to fix it with their $666,000 jobs.
Well, I just found the website, by the way.
is it really 666?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So.
Well, I want to get into the well safety seal, too. We're going to play that later. That's eerie. If we don't get to it, look up well safety seal later.
That's the one you got queued up for me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to play it in a second here. Okay, so where you want to go to look at these salaries is go to Transparent California.
Yeah, that's what I got. And, but I'm seeing Larry Lees as being the head.
Well, this is for Shasta County. No, I got Shepard Green, Chief of Psychiatry. His total pay and benefits is $364 and some change. And then we got Karen Ramstrom, which is next, is $284 and some change. And then we got Deckard, health officer. So we got health of the officer Deckard. And then I don't know why they're showing Shepherd Green three or four times here. And then we have Minturn, and then we have the attorney. And then we have Donnell Ewert, which is 263 and some change. I mean, it's like, really? Mm-hmm. So anyway, just I'll try to see if I can post this. I'll post it on Facebook. So if you want to look at it, you can. Let me get in there and do that. And then what do we got on this? We want to look at the give me an intro on this. We're going to have to go to a break.
Do we want to do it on the other side of the break?
Yeah, let's do it on the other side of the break, and I'll show you some stuff that's just going to be very interesting moving forwards.
All right, you're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
If I get gone, What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Greetings, North State. Just a reminder here to be sure and tune in to Common Ground Radio Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. You know, we have much more in common with one another than we normally recognize, but fail to see this thanks to our polarized media that deliberately divides us and demonizes the other side. Common Ground Radio is your progressive call-in talk show for the North State right here on Radio KCNR, where we seek bipartisan agreement on many issues affecting all of us using respectful, fact-based dialogue and starting for change from the progressive side of the street.
It's the Ramsey Show, where we talk about your life and your money. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Don't miss This Morning with Gordon Deal, followed by the Sue McClain News Hour, Free Fire Radio, and Armstrong and Getty on KCNR.
I was born in the sign of water, and it's there that I feel my best. The albatross and the whales, they are my brothers. It's kind of a special feeling when you're out on the sea alone, staring at the full moon like a lover.
Yeah, I want to breathe some air. There you have it. Sovereign Mind
Radio. Without a mask.
Without a mask. Yeah, well, that's obvious.
Well, you're not able to really breathe air with a mask. Come on now.
KCNR, 1460, 90.5 FM.
96.5.
That's what I said. 96.5, 1460 AM. Cut it out. Stop it. 1460 AM. KCNR1460.com, all right? Stop.
All right, so are we queued up for that?
Yeah, I've got it right here.
All right,
and,
so
maybe give us a little intro in so we know what we're doing with here.
I'll give a little bit of pretext on this. So what we've been seeing more recently is the whole idea and concept of a vaccine passport and all these different places, which are saying that, of course, ID is racist, but a vaccine passport, that's completely fine. You're going to go ahead and need that to go on airplanes or go to any of these other places. But now it looks like they want to go ahead and slap this on big businesses that might support the private-public partnership of the Great Reset. And let's go ahead and play this away. And everyone that you're going to listen to here is one of these famous actors, because you know, if you got a famous actor behind something, it's so trustworthy.
Oh, because they're so smart and right on with everything.
Really,
and I do have the list in front of me. It's Lady Gaga, the same cast of characters, you know, Lady Gaga, Meathead, and then you've got Gemma.
I just want to point out real quick, it's really important to trust the information you hear from a lady that comes out wearing a uncooked meat suit.
A meat dress.
That's where I get my sanitary information from.
I think she had a meat hat, too, which thus would become a meat head. Just saying. And so Jennifer Lopez, Michael Jordan, which I'm a little surprised at. Robert De Niro, no surprise there. Serena Williams, no surprise. Wolfgang Puck, Deepak Chopra, and then the 17th. That is 17th. U.S. Surgeon General Richard Carmona. So here we go. We're going to play it. I haven't vetted this. If there's anything screwed up here, this is all Dave.
I own it.
Dave's going to own this.
Button ninja on standby.
As an entertainer, a businesswoman, and especially as a mother, I really love it when we're allowed to be out and together.
Allowed.
As an actor and director, I've always been a collaborative person.
I'm constantly inspired being around people and feeling their energy live. But that's been hard during COVID.
We all want to get back to enjoying restaurants, stores, hotels, stadiums, and feel safer in the places we love.
How can we feel more confident that the schools, child care centers, offices, and banks that we go to
are working to keep us safe?
Look for the Well Seal. Look for the Well Health Safety Seal.
Look for the Well Health Safety Seal.
Last time we
I'm
used
Dr. Thaws. Richard Carmona, the 17th Surgeon General of the United States of America. This is the Well Health Safety Seal from the International Well Building Institute, the global authority on healthy building.
Whoa! Hold the bus. The global authority on health. Gee, there's no globalist theme here going, is there?
Look for the Well Health Safety Seal. Last time we used stars, give me your papers, Fraulein.
Yeah, we're going to sew a red letter to your front of your star or something. Yeah. I mean, and then you look at Lady Gaga. She's got shoulder pads higher than her head. She looks like something on one of those vulture cartoons.
She went back to the 80s on steroids.
You know, and what are they talking about? Oh, we're gonna get back to a safe environment week.
I love the first one. I love it when we're allowed to be together.
So do you think any of these guys have missed a meal in a nice restaurant?
No. Do you think any of these guys have actually been listening to any of these guidelines and not flying around, not going to their private parties, not eating out at their private places? Give me a break.
Well, they might be wearing masks. Because,
but that's a whole nother subject for another day.
They like it.
Well, and just to point in case, the ESG scores are live now. They're already there. They're already happening.
What are ESG scores again?
Environmental social governance scores. It's basically your social credit score, depending on how environmentally friendly you are and how environmentally social minded you are. You're going to get a loan or you're not going to get credit to be able to continue your business. It's as simple as that. You're either with us or you're not.
Yes, or get a job or receive money.
I can't remember all these acronyms.
I'll throw another one at you, the C2PA. The C2PA is one that Microsoft and Intel and Snapfish and a list of about 30 other companies have put together to where they can go ahead and track the content authenticity of where something comes from prior to you ever even clicking post. And so in this future, there was something I heard this last week from Glenn Beck, where he was discussing how he's already heard from 5 people that there are individuals who are working to change and create a cryptocurrency from the federal government that is not Bitcoin, it's not any of these other ones, that is going to be exchanged in 2022 and go live prior to the election cycle, whereby you're going to be able to exchange the money that you have based upon your race, how wealthy you are, at a certain exchange point. So you might get a 0.5 exchange rate going back in if you're a white guy and wealthy.
Much for our exchange.
So,
what you're
saying is that the VIPs are keeping this on the QT while they rearrange our DNA with our RNA at the CDC so that the WHO.
Well, and let's think about this. There's two places
so the
where
AFT can come get you.
There's two places where I could see this could go horribly wrong. So one is they're able to then claim that you created something. From the moment that you take a picture on your phone, they can say you created it. So if you have these private companies that are an authority, along with the BBC, they're one of the people that is behind this.
The BBC and the CNN?
Yeah. So here's what's interesting. Along with that, you've got these private companies that can say you created something and tag you for it. So I'm sorry, Mark, you created that child porn. we're going to have to take you off and take you off to jail because we said it. And then aside from that, think about this. Once you've got a cryptocurrency that's tracked and traceable on everything you do, and they can do that, now you can be effectively eliminated from every source of public discourse because they know you created something before you even click the post button. It can be censored or shadow banned. And if you go to try to buy a different device, they're going to be able to shadow ban you there. If you share it to somebody else and have them try to upload it, they already know it came from you. So you're effectively able to be silenced by a private company before it even goes to bat.
How about if I just turn it off?
I was going to say, don't they
can't. I mean, think about this. How are you going to get away from Microsoft? How are you going to get away from Intel? How are you going to get away from Snapfish?
Not listening or turning off my computer.
But how can you create it? Isn't it already happening?
The market share between Intel.
So what should we do?
I mean, honestly, this is the type of thing to where it is the time right now to stop supporting these companies that are destroying you.
I agree with that.
I can tell you right now, I already sent in to Amazon and I had them remove my account completely. I can't even get into it. I lost access to my Fire Stick. I lost access to my Alexa. I already removed my Facebook and I lost access to all my apps.
I'm going to do the Facebook here within the next month. I've already kind of made a determination I'm going to start. I've already eliminated all the Twitter accounts. And, you know, we're going to some other things. But I don't know. We got some issues here. I think that, you know, what we could do is just...
But I don't think it's that easy to get totally away from it.
It's hard and it sucks. I have an idea. What if we storm Bill Gates' house and tar and feather him and...
he's joking.
Just kidding. So I only played half of this. Look where we're at. Okay, so you want to hear the rest of it?
Let's go.
Okay, here we go.
When you see the Well Health Safety Seal...
It means that your health and safety are top of mind when it comes to...
Cleaning and sanitizing the future. Air...
You must clean and sanitize. Would you like a cigarette, old man? Oh, no, no cigarette, please. No, I don't want a cigarette. Okay, we had to stop it there because I think that's like Wolfgang Puck, who's, you know, if you were, you know, what's his name, you'd say he was a hockey puck. But okay, well, here we go. I can't help it. These people are stupid.
And water quality management.
Emergency preparedness programs
and health services.
It means when you see the seal on the outside,
we can feel more confident going inside.
Because feeling safe should be a right for all, not a privilege for some.
So look,
here's
feeling safe is a right.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. So I heard this idiot yesterday. These guys that are educated beyond their own intelligence with stupidity, saying that food is a right. Okay. If it's a right, okay. What you're saying is that the farmers have to give you food.
No matter what.
No matter what. For free. So my question is this. If I worked my butt off in my garden, saved a bunch of food for my family, and I have just enough to feed my family, and a homeless guy shows up and wants to take it for himself, does he have the right to do that?
Apparently under their ideas.
Yeah, I was going to say, they think so.
So in other words...
As long as they're coming to your house and not their house.
So let's follow that up. Should everybody have food? Yeah, I believe everybody should have food. Is it a right? No, that's stupid. Because what that goes to, again, is the ability to have private property. A head of cabbage could be private property. If I spent all year growing a head of cabbage... Does somebody have the right to take that from me, even though I'm the one? Remember the old, you know, Little Red Hen story, you know, to make the bread and all this stuff.
You've got to think about how this is circular and connected. So look at this. The real reason why Bill Gates is now the U.S. biggest farmland owner. Last late year, Eric O'Keefe was researching a mysterious recent purchase of 14,500 acres of prime Washington state farmland. His magazine, The Land Report, and it tracks major land transactions and produces an annual list of the 100 biggest U.S. landowners. Sales of more than 1,000 acres are blue moon events, O'Keefe noted. This one stood out, and eastern Washington has some of the richest, most expensive farmland in the country, but the purchaser of the record was a small, obscure company in Louisiana. And so once he ended up going through and tracking this out, he ended up finding out that Bill Gates ended up purchasing farmland all across this country. So their idea is to turn around and tell you something is a right before they do something that will change it to make it into a right with the hours and the powers to be that can do that, and then say, hey, it's a right for you to have this, but you're also not allowed to do this and make your own.
No, what they're saying is it's a right as long as I say it's a right.
Yeah. Just get in your district and get on your treadmill.
Because the reality is that if there's no food, try asserting your right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And where did the right come from? Who gave you the right? Is it a God-given right or a government-given right? If the government gave you the right to eat, does the government have the right to take away your right to eat? Questions, just simple questions, you know, and these guys don't think this stuff through. You know, should I, now do I believe that everybody should be able to not starve to death? Yeah, but you got to have an economic means of production. I do. I don't believe that's necessarily possible, but it's done through economics. How are people fed? They're fed because people work and produce things. When you kill everybody's incentive to work and produce things, you kill everybody's ability to eat.
Well, and the only, here's my condition. If you are unable, like physically unable, and there's no way that you can possibly do it, then there's some burden that society deserves to take on in that particular case, only in that event.
No, not society, but not the government. See, yes. Here's the thing.
They don't have the right to demand that
you do
that.
No, but that's the point. See, they think that that the government can steal from you to give to them. That's what they're right. That's what they're saying. What I'm saying is get the government out completely. If I want to donate to charity, that's not charity. If it's forced and coerced, that's extortion. So they don't seem to understand between the two. That's why they got to keep blurring the words. That's why racism doesn't mean anything anymore, because racism means anything I tell you it means. You know, it's kind of like out of 1984, you know. You ever see Marathon Man where Dennis, you know, Dustin Hoffman sitting in a chair with the evil Dennis, a doctor from Germany who's a Nazi, and he's saying, is it safe? And he goes, yeah, it's safe. And he goes, is it safe? And he doesn't know what the answer is. Is it safe? So then he puts a little, scalpel onto his exposed tooth, nerve ending and says again, is it safe? Oh yeah, safe, it's safe. Because the answer to the question doesn't matter.
Well, and I like, in that particular case, the John Wayne quote that says, safe? Who knows what's safe? I once saw a man drop dead from looking at his wife.
Well, if we're going to go to John Wayne, life is hard, and when you're stupid, it's harder.
Well, and let's look at this, because this is big news, too, that we need to get out. So, in the past few days...
Should we play the rest of the clip? We haven't even gone through the whole clip yet.
Oh, yeah, let's finish it up.
Okay, we've still got 11 seconds. Okay, here we go. 11 seconds.
Look for the well seal.
Look for the well seal.
Look for the well health safety seal. Learn more about the Well Health Safety Rating at wellhealthsafety.com.
As an entertainer...
Oh. I mean, that's spooky stuff.
Well, it's spooky, you know, I guess, if you buy into the whole global thing, but I don't think it's going to work. I think the whole thing's going to fall apart on them.
Well,
think
about this for a minute, okay? So most of these areas, they've already shut down the farmers' markets. They've already said you can't go out there. So, where can you go to buy the produce and the things that you need?
Can you grow your own food?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
However, that may change. They may say, oh, we got a drought.
So if they tell you that you need to turn in your guns, are you going to do it?
No.
If they tell you you can't grow food, are you going to stop?
No.
If they tell you that you have to give all your money to the IRS, are you going to do it?
No.
If they tell
But the caveat on that is they can just take it out of your bank account.
Well, then you're talking about currency. I'm talking about money.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference.
Well, yeah, you have true money that's true assets of gold, silver, and even to some extent crypto now. But once again, I'm more bullish on Monero and Zcash, and more so Monero. So Monero is a privacy coin. It's a wrapped coin, meaning they don't know who has it, who owns it, and otherwise. The problem with Zcash that I see is that it's a semi-wrapped coin.
My point is that... Are you going to do what they tell you to
do? Are
you
going to comply?
Are you going to comply?
Yeah.
No.
I've already not been complying.
So how many people voted for Trump the last election?
They say 72 million or 73.
Do you think they're all going to comply?
No.
Probably not. So when you have enough people saying we're not going to comply, can they enforce the law? It's kind of like in Shasta County when they say, you guys all need to wear masks wherever you go, and nobody does it. Who's gonna enforce it?
Well, and that's actually where one of this next portion of the story goes into. So over this last week, we had Joe Biden. It's talking about six new executive orders, and he's also discussing a new ATF chairman. So the former governor's position on the guns is especially important given a 50-50 Senate, which will consider the nomination of David Chipman to lead the ATF, a former special agent for the ATF. Chipman is now a senior policy advisor for the Griffords, the gun control group founded by former Democratic rep Gabby Giffords after she survived an assassination attempt in 2011. Chipman has called for an assault weapons ban, which I'd like to add one caveat. What is an assault weapon? There's no such thing. But moving on, and criticize first-time gun buyers during the coronavirus pandemic, accusing them of putting themselves and their families in danger due to unknowingly knowing how to store them.
Here's where I think you're all wrong. I think this is all fear-mongering. I think it's all fear-mongering. I think that that's the game, is to get everybody afraid so they do stuff. If you're afraid to not go in the restaurant because it hasn't got the mark on it, then you won't go into the restaurant unless it got the mark on it. See, this is all fear-mongering. Why are you wearing your mask? Because they want you to be afraid and do what you're told. Why are they putting all of these stories out? So that you'll do what you're told. It's all a fear thing. 90% of this is smoke and mirrors BS.
It could be, but the problem is what have they been doing, what have they been saying, and what have we actually seen coming down the line? They're doing everything they're saying, and from what we're seeing right here, the Well Health Safety Seal, they're going to rate your business based upon how well you comply to that.
They're not going to rate my business.
Well, no, but they'll rate businesses like Walmart or Costco or Winco or any of the other ones that you might be able to go in and get the food.
Is that
going to
be a badge of honor or a badge of, I don't want to go there anymore?
Well, look at how many people are actually wearing masks in these places and already complying.
Okay.
I mean,
look how many people aren't.
But it's a lot fewer. And when you go through, you look at these cities.
I think it depends on where you're at.
I was going to say, depends on where you're located.
I think if you looked at the dynamics across the board, people are getting fed up with wearing masks because they're realizing that it's all BS.
But if we do what we're doing in Shasta County and everybody else starts doing what we're doing and it spreads across the states and
I think
how many people are involved in that?
I think the only power that these people really have is when you believe they have power.
That's true. Well, it's we the people, of the people, by the people, for the people. And so, the problem is people need to start standing up. I mean, it's like HR 8, to speak to your opinion. The HR 8, for instance, it passed in the House. Joe Biden supports it. They're trying to
Which one's that? I got lost in the HRs.
So that one is the one that's going to be ending up affecting the transfer of firearms. And they're setting that one up for HR 127, which is the nationwide gun registry where it's at.
Nobody's going to follow it. I mean, if they tell everybody that you can't transfer your gun to your kid, they'll do it anyway.
Well, what's interesting on that is you have the status that's set up for this. You already have 33 states that allow private individuals to sell guns to other private individuals without performing a background check. However, what HR 8 does is it makes it a federal felony in order to do that within any of those 33 states, which is speaking of the issue sovereignty.
Let me ask you this. If I was convicted of that and I had a jury trial in Shasta County, do you think that people would convict me of that in Shasta County?
I would hope not.
That's jury nullification. See, so it ultimately rests in the people.
They're setting it up, though, for jury perjury, though.
Well, again, we can do this all day long. What I'm saying is the people are waking up because the more oppressive it gets, the more people wake up.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And this is the thing is a lot of this oppression we don't even know is upon us until it's already too late. So that's the only reason why I bring up a lot of these things,
knows what's coming that's got a thinking brain, and then there's a few people out there that are the guys on the top of the roof during that invasion of the aliens that are saying, welcome them!
You're talking about Independence Day, right?
Right before the laser beam fries them all.
I'll be right there alongside of the Koreans on top of their roofs. You know, the ones that are armed, not letting them do that. All right, let's finish the show up. Look up Not Antifa Window Repair and play that.
Not Antifa window repair.
Yes.
Was it on YouTube?
Yes, it's a YouTube, and we need to play that for the end of the show.
Let's see if I can get it up here. We got 5 minutes, so this, I wish I had known about this.
I know. It came to top of mind, and I wanted to hit it out real quick. And,
excuse me, not Antifa.
And I'll talk about this real quick while we get that pulled up. So GM.
What is it? Not Antifa what?
Window repair. GM cuts some U.S. truck production shifts because of chip shortage. General Motors will cancel some truck production shifts this weekend to two U.S. auto plants because of the ongoing semiconductor shortage, and the company said on Friday. Now, this is actually leading into one of the big things about why China wants to overtake Taiwan, because Taiwan is another really big place for creating semiconductors and also silicon.
You might have to pull that up for next week, because once you get Antifa, we got a million of them coming up here, and none of them are window repair. The first one that comes up is another company profiting from unrest. Is that it?
So that's again, back to the computer chip.
Oh, that,
so they're controlling
that
everything with their little chips.
Okay,
if we're
so
not
I got it up,
and they'll give it to you if.
If they want to.
Okay,
if
so this is all Dave again.
I own it.
Dave owns this. Are we ready? Here we go. I haven't listened to this, so I'm going to be as surprised as everybody else.
Hi, I'm Don.
And I'm Ron, and we are members of Antifa. But what you don't know is that we're also the founders of
Not Antifa Window Repair. If you ever need window repair, I got a bit of a suspicion you will. So we realized that by living this double life, we were able to create the demand for our own service.
Did you know that Evel Knievel did this?
I did not.
No, he did it in Montana. I think his hometown was Bozeman, I think, or there's one of them out there, not Bozeman, and there's another one. But what he did was he was Evel Knievel, and he drove around on his motorcycle, and he'd pull up to all the stores. And the mafia did this in New York a lot, too. They go, hey, you need protection, buddy. Those windows out there, if you don't pay some insurance to me, they could get broken.
Well, this is pretty funny because they're not going about that. Go ahead, play it on. It's
they do it
good.
In New York. They say, listen, you know, you've got some windows out there. They're nice windows. You know, you never know. Somebody could come by and throw a rock at them.
Well, this one, play away. You'll laugh.
We organize and cause riots, which then cause damage that creates customers.
Then we take our costumes off, Clark Kent style, and show up for
extortion racket.
We can get the business. Some bad people out there, so.
Yeah. Stuff happens, stuff's going to happen. Capitalism by day, communism by night.
Ooh, that's a nice. You know, we saw the media and corporations all benefiting from the protests, and we thought, you know, why not us?
Take us off some of those protest dollars. Put a rock through his window, put a rock on my wife's hand.
Well, my kids too far. Some panties are just an idea, but to me, it's a $1 billion idea.
I think that guy's gonna break that?
Nah, probably just a window shopper. You want to put this on the Tuesday protest or the
Tuesday protest?
So I guess the part, you know, we're going to play the rest of it. I think we're almost out of time.
Yeah.
Got 2 minutes. You know, I guess the part we're missing is that's breaking, you know, somebody else's property, and you can get prosecuted for that. But here we go.
Single pane, too. See, they cheaped out.
Yeah, the window repair game is a little like the tow truck game. You know, you want to be first on the scene.
Yeah, it has to know what going to be if you catch my drift.
We usually come a couple hours before the unrest and take these bad boys down.
Yeah, we weren't born yesterday, Target. People are cooped up. It's easy to get them riled up.
But also, because they're cooped up, they more than ever need windows. Corporate money right there.
Big time.
Kind of like how the government shut down businesses, forcing you to rely on them. We break windows, forcing you to rely on us.
Tensions have died down without the bad man in power, so we've had to work a little harder on the activism side.
You know, sometimes when we really want to up the ante, we'll utilize multiple movements. On them, we're stopping global warming by breaking the windows on 2nd Street tonight.
Breaking the system starts with the windows. Racial tension's really good for business. You think you can smash us with a standard hammer, or you think you need a diamond tip? Yeah, we're just going to need a 2nd Street, march up to 3rd, and just hit everything on that whole block.
There's a lot of money to be made in window repair.
Yeah, I read a statistic. 44% of all windows in Portland are currently broken. Can we get a rock on the way up there?
Pull the right crew together.
Wow. I think we're out of time.
We are.
I guess we'll see everybody next week. Remember, you are born an original. Don't die a copy. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio.
And this has been KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
All gun control is racist. Prove me wrong.
I am just a simple man working with my hands.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.